Podium Audio presents Darcy and Elizabeth's Dreams of Redemption, written by Melissa Anne, performed by Elizabeth Grace and Harry Frost.
Chapter 1. Darcy. Fitzwilliam Darcy was utterly miserable. Almost a week had passed since he danced with Elizabeth Bennet at the Netherfield Ball, where they argued about George Wickham, of all people. How had she been so easily taken in by that cad? Upon further reflection, though, he remembered that many others, including his own father, had fallen for the man's slick tongue. Elizabeth lacked the experience to see Wickham for what he truly was, a dissolute rake. Since his return to London last week, Darcy had concluded that he had fallen in love with Elizabeth Bennet. In his mind, she was his Elizabeth, and his recent dreams only intensified this sentiment. Night after night he dreamt of her, in the library, in the billiard room, at Pemberley, at Longbourn, at the assembly rooms where he had first seen her. During the day, he could fleetingly push these thoughts of her aside, but at night, forgetting her was impossible. He groaned and rubbed his face, attempting to banish thoughts of her. Exhausted, he acknowledged that his sleep had been frequently interrupted in the last week. He had often awoken from his dreams, panting and desperate for release. Darcy removed his clothing and sat down on the bed in his London home. Trying to clear his mind of Elizabeth Bennet, he read until he eventually succumbed to a deep sleep. Darcy found himself standing in a room in the parsonage at Rosings, with Elizabeth Bennet standing before him, her eyes ablaze with anger, a fury he knew in his gut he had provoked. He heard himself say, "And this is all the reply which I am to have the honour of expecting." But he did not stop there. He continued asking, no, demanding that she explain why she had rejected him. Had he proposed? What possessed him to do such a thing? Though her eyes were flashing with anger directed at him, Darcy thought he had rarely seen her look as beautiful as she did at that moment. Any thoughts in that direction were instantly replaced with shock as she accused him of offending and insulting her. How? He did not understand what she meant. He had only attempted to explain what he had overcome to offer for her. Wait, what was that she just said about her sister? He focused again on her words. "Had not my feelings decided against you, had they been indifferent, or had they even been favourable, do you think that any consideration would tempt me to accept the man who has been the means of ruining, perhaps forever, the happiness of a most beloved sister?" He felt himself blanch. Did she mean that Miss Bennet cared for Bingley? She had smiled at his friend, to be sure, but that did not indicate genuine affection. Yes, he had divided them, but only because he believed Miss Bennet did not care for his friend. He had rarely seen Bingley so affected, but Miss Bennet was always so serene and calm. Shaking off the shock of her words, he refocused his attention on Elizabeth. "Can you deny that you have done it?" she repeated, her anger rising further. He heard himself coldly reply, "I have no wish to deny that I did everything in my power to separate my friend from your sister, or that I rejoice in my success. Towards him, I have been kinder than toward myself." As the words left his lips, he berated himself mentally. That was impolitic, he chastised himself, feeling the urge to slap himself for the thoughtless remark. However, before he could say anything further, she continued, "But it is not merely this affair on which my dislike is founded." Again, he reproached himself for not saying more to Elizabeth that night at Netherfield. Of course she believed Wickham, why would she not? She had little reason to distrust Wickham, and all the reason in the world, apparently, to dislike him. He felt defeated, and wanted to hang his head, bringing an end to this awful interview, but he could not. He seemed to lack control over his own body, specifically his mouth. Almost against his will, his anger surged as she accused him of treating Wickham unjustly. He had told her just days ago that Wickham was